Dave Moore on Today FM.
Morning, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. Congratulations on Diverted. I've heard episode 1 and episode 3 has just come out. I've got 2 to catch up on. I've got to get 3 into my ears as well. But let's talk about the whole concept of Diverted. Give my listeners who maybe haven't heard anything the elevator pitch, man.
Well, it's a deep story of heartbreak, Dave. That's what this is in its essence. I had one job. It was to go to Argentina for the 2022 World Cup because it was pretty obvious what the angle was there.
I was going to say, now, Argentina, the World Cup wasn't in Argentina, just to clarify, of course.
But who cares? It was in Qatar. It was Messi's last World Cup.
You were convinced that Messi was going to, in his last opportunity, win the World Cup. And then you thought the place to be would obviously be Argentina.
Correct. I'd heard about the parties of 1986 and that this was like the greatest collection of crazy human people on the planet ever. So I was like, this could be replicated in 22 if Argentina win the World Cup.
Of course.
So that was where my eye was set. And I don't know, Latin America is a lot bigger in reality than it is on a map. It's tiny on a map.
Funny, on my podcast that I have one with Neil Denmer, we have covered the Mercator project.
Right, there you go.
Which is a projection that, in fairness, if you're shipping, which was what people who needed maps in the times when Mercator was making his map, people needed to know how to go to Argentina. They didn't need to know how big Argentina was. So that's why, for example, when we look at a map, Greenland is bigger than Africa. No, it isn't, you maniacs. Anyway, that's a whole different podcast. But yeah, it is bigger than we think.
I needed the Mercator process, basically, doing this.
Yes, okay.
And I underestimated the journey. I was still in the Northern Hemisphere when the World Cup final was happening, which is not where Argentina is.
That feels like you, I mean, like, it doesn't seem to be, I know how big Argentina is, but surely it's not difficult to be in the right hemisphere when it happens.
That would be a help. So that is the premise of this.
Okay.
I had one job, I screwed it up, and all the stories I managed to gather while getting slightly distracted is essentially what we have. And a lot of these stories of misfortune are self-inflicted, of certain ways that I chose to travel as opposed to taking the easy option.
Of course, of course. But did you go out to experience this Argentinian party with that being the essence of your trip, or did you go out to make a podcast, or did the podcast happen as you were going, or was it an afterthought? How did it come about?
It happened as I was going, but the Argentina thing was supposed to be the centerpiece.
Gotcha.
As it turns out, the Argentina thing is the centerpiece, but in a very different way
than you'd planned. Right.
When we get down a few more episodes into the series, I will spend time with the family of a World Cup winner. And the reason why I ended up in their home was because I spent time hitchhiking in Route 40, which is the desert down in Patagonia. And I got stuck in a shack one night with these bunch of bikers who had driven all the way down about 1,500 kilometers from their home in the middle of Argentina. And we were chatting in my broken Spanish and they were like, "Oh, you're into sport and you're Irish. We're best mates with Alexis McAllister." And
no.
I was like, "Wait, hold on a minute. I don't care that I'm going to be homeless tonight.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about this." And they're like, "Just take a photo of my phone. This is his uncle. And when you get back to Santa Rosa, give him a call." And I mean, Alexis's uncle is absolutely dead on. I mean, the amount of food he bought me over the course of those few days, and the Club Deportivo McAllister is what it's called. It's a football academy that they've got set up there, where his face is plastered all over the walls because he just won the World Cup. And it's like, geez, I wouldn't have actually got that experience had I not been the Egypt standing on the side of the road with my thumb out.
In Patagonia. Okay, right. And because part of the way the podcast is structured is the beginning of each episode is part of your hitchhiking journey.
Yes.
And then we visit a country along the way, which is the kind of meat of the episode. So as I said, I've heard the Colombia episode. I have yet to listen to the Chile one, but the Bolivia one is out right now. People need to catch up on this. Please make sure you search out Diverted and have listened. But talk to me about the fighting in Bolivia. This is a sport?
Yeah, like I've certainly pitched it as a sport.
Yeah.
This is the episode. If you want to listen to one, maybe this week's one would be the one. So there's this festival called Tinku. It happens high in the mountains in Bolivia every May, right as the harvest season is about to begin. They all believe in the concept of Pachamama, which to you and I is Mother Earth.
Okay.
And to satisfy Pachamama, they want to spill blood before the season begins. And to do that, these lads from different tribes, men and women from different tribes all come down to the square of this small town and they box the head off each other for a few days. And this goes on, I think between 50 and 100 tribes come down. It's a very haunting thing where they're playing this strange music, doing this strange dance for a number of hours in the morning and you're waiting for the fighting to begin and it just doesn't happen and it just doesn't happen. Eventually, when it does spark, the police react immediately with tear gas.
Well, let's have a listen, because here's a clip of when the tear gas was deployed.
A couple of men begin to throw punches and it looks like the first all-out brawl of the day. I go off and I get a closer look. But as soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas is out.
You can taste the tear gas.
Oh my God.
I can actually feel it.
is getting to me now. Oh, Jesus.
Keep going. I've run away to a side street and then up a hill to get to the outskirts of the town.
So that sound is you and presumably other people who are there to witness it avoiding the tear gas. But can you avoid the tear gas? Can you avoid the fighting? Are you part of it if you're there?
You're trapped at that point. So you get away from it. You can hear that there's another tribe doing their own sort of war dance as you run towards one of the side streets. We go back down to the square again a few minutes later. They hit the tear gas again. Now, the reason they're doing this, we discover, is that the police want to control this. The police actually referee the fights.
Okay.
So they create these big circles throughout the daytime and they allow one-on-one combat, punching only, no kicking. Once a person hits the ground or they have blood drawn from them, they stop the fight at that point.
So the blood is spilled. Pachamama is fine.
She is satisfied. Yeah. You're going to have great crops for that season. However, the police shifts end when the sun goes down.
Oh, no.
And after that point, all bets are off.
Right.
I will never forget the moment that I was walking down one side street and I just see this elderly man coming at me. He tries to punch me. I kind of step back. He tries to kick me. And I do the very manly thing here and I run away. And there's just people by the side of the walls like chanting, Gringo, at me. And I'm told it's a very disrespectful thing to do. You shouldn't be disrespecting the Andean gods.
Right.
I should have stood
there
and
engaged.
Fought. And these guys over the age of 70 were lethal. They were absolutely polluted. They'd been drinking for days. And it did kind of occur to me, you know, have I actually disrespected a god here?
Right.
As it turned out, about 3.5 weeks later, I did end up in hospital for an unrelated incident. And I do wonder.
The Andean gods might have taken some revenge. Well, Diverted is fascinating. I really, really recommend it. Owen has got it up. It's an off-the-ball OTB project, but you can find it wherever you find your podcast. Search for Diverted and have a listen. And definitely that Bolivian clip. I have to hear the whole episode. I can't have somebody who works for OTB here and not ask you about sport. You obviously searched out the party for the World Cup winners in Argentina. Whether or not you got theirs to be discovered on your podcast, mm-hmm. Diverted. But in terms of your kind of favorite sporting memory or moment, whether you were there, whether you were watching it, like what stands out for you?
There's one that stands head and shoulders above all else, and that is Sean O'Shea's winning kick for Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin in 2022. It was the perfect sporting moment because Kerry had a bad decade against Dublin, so the opposition matters. It was obviously a knockout game, hugely important. And it's very hard to win a game of Gaelic football, a game of hurling, any of our main sports in a single moment.
Exactly.
Like, and it happens in golf the whole time.
Yeah.
It happens in a number of other sports, but there is not often a single moment, a walk-off win, as they say in American sports. And that was the first time I'd experienced my team, spoiler, Kerry, doing that. But it was also against their fiercest rival. Hadn't won the All-Ireland in a few years at that point, and they do eventually win, Sam. I just remember sprinting up and down the steps of the Cusick stand when it happened. It was just an extraordinary day, an extraordinary moment.
Sit back and relive it again here, because here it is for you, as painful as it might be for a dub like me.
55 metres out from the target.
He has
kicking
the range.
Into a Hill 16 goal area full of Dublin fans. A tiny little pocket of Kerry supporters way up at the top. Watching, waiting, up into the air. Is it going the right way?
Yes!
He's got it! Sean O'Shea has scored for Kerry. He's got a goal at four. They are surely in the All-Ireland final. There can hardly be any more time left. There isn't. Kerry, with the last kick of the game, have beaten Dublin. They have beaten a Dublin team for the first time in 13 years.
13 years. It's a long time for Kerry not to beat Dublin, in fairness.
There were 13 terrible years. Mm. They have 13 great years for Dublin people.
Yes, that's true. And then, listen, people may not know this about you, but you're a big music head, you're a big gig goer. Have you got a favourite musical moment?
Yeah, well, like, I think Orbital last year at Glastonbury is the one that came
to
mind.
You were at Glastonbury?
I was at Glastonbury last year.
How is Glastonbury as a general thing?
It is amazing.
Would you recommend it?
I would absolutely recommend it. Again, I would just love to go a second time and have all the knowledge that I
have
now.
That you have now.
And do it better. I think second time would be amazing. Didn't get tickets this year, so shout out to any ginger people out there who look similar to me, who I can use their photo to get in this year. I'll happily take it off your hands. But yeah, first year last year, this is probably going to be sacrilege to a lot of people, but Orbital were on the same time as Coldplay.
Well, our producer Maria, if you've chosen Orbital over Coldplay, yes, you may have to leave the studio immediately.
I think so. I had assumed that this might be an issue. I've seen Coldplay a few times before, but I had only seen Orbital maybe once before. But I knew that there was going to be some special guests here, and you could, like, at one stage in the gig, you could hear "Wannabe" by Spice Girls playing. I was like, "Oh my god, they're going to do a remix of this song," and out walks a woman who is clearly a Spice Girl, and I turn to the person beside me. I'm like, "Oh my god, I can't believe Jerry Halliwell is here," and he turns back to me. He's like, "That is Mel."
Well, your Orbital knowledge is obviously stronger than your Spice Girls knowledge, which is fair enough. Well, here she is singing with Orbital on stage at Glastonbury. This moment for Owen. Very good. Very quickly, I've got something for you which you may or may not know. If you know this, this is fine. It won't be a big deal. But if you don't know this, this is incredible, right? So we needed to get that clip. Mm-hmm. So we put in Glastonbury Orbital, you know, 2024 or whatever it was. And the video came up. And we watched the video as we were recording in the bit. You're in the video. Do you know this?
I know I'm in the full BBC thing. You looked at the full thing, or I'm not in the spicy one, am I?
You're in...
Am
you are,
I?
You are right there.
I'm on the YouTube.
Cahill is playing the YouTube video.
Is that you there?
Right up the front. That is you. Yes, that we've just found old Shane in the crowd at Glastonbury.
The thing is, there's nothing more terrifying than being at a gig and then seeing like the drone camera right above you. And I did actually go back to watch the full BBC thing, but I thought I was in the dregs of it all. I didn't think I was in the most iconic moment.
No, you are
moment.
Right there, the iconic moment of, wow, of Melanie C singing along with the lads.
That is not good news. Time to get in touch with YouTube.
Well, listen, I want everybody to go listen to Diverted. The podcast is out. Can you get it everywhere you get your podcasts?
Yes, absolutely.
That all-important phrase. Before you go, quick fire round. What are you currently obsessed with, Owen?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a big one for a quick fire round.
I'm obsessed with trying to perfect my chicken curry at the moment.
Ooh.
Yeah, trying to make it a bit better because I've been using the same recipe for years and years,
okay,
which I love. I'm somebody who cooks the same thing over and over and over again.
I'm with you, brother. But tell me, like, what subtle changes are you making now? Where are you bringing to a different region of Asia? What's going on?
I've taken the turmeric stocks of Tesco to a whole new level over the last couple of games. That has been absolutely key.
Coconut milk?
Yes, coconut milk has always been a factor.
Right,
coconut milk, passata.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Tomato paste, always been a factor. Turmeric has been the new addition.
Okay.
And chickpeas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can I offer, you may already do this, can I offer the suggestion, because I learned this about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's completely changed my curry game, which is pre-toasting your spices. So whole spices, now not turmeric because it's powdered, but any whole spices you have, so cardamom pods, mustard seeds, cinnamon sticks, whatever, do them in the dry pan first.
Yes.
Take them out, and the flavor that happens when you toast them over the heat amplifies everything. And do that first. There's your layer of spice. And then start doing everything else you do.
I've never toasted spices in my life.
This is a new thing.
This
is a new thing.
The gateway to heaven.
Tell me, the next question I have for you is, who's the most famous person in that phone of yours? Shawnee O'Shea?
Like, I mean, we have him on the show the whole time, so Brian O'Driscoll, I guess.
Yeah.
It's probably hard to think of anybody more famous than him.
Well, funny, his wife Amy was in with me last week and I asked her that question and she also said Brian O'Driscoll.
Right, okay,
which,
great.
And I'm sure she has people more famous, but it just shows you how fond she is of him. When you think back to when you were about 8 years old, lunchtime in school, the teacher says, okay, boys and girls, take out your lunchbox for sus biog. What was inside?
White bread sandwich, mayo, tomato, lettuce.
Wow, maybe lettuce,
yeah.
At 8 years old?
At 8 years old. Maybe I'm...
No, it isn't a cultured palate, I've no doubt about it.
Probably a cheese string.
Okay.
And, God, what else would it be?
A treat? Was the cheese string the treat?
Maybe the cheese string was a treat. No, like generally it would have been a cereal bar, like a Nutri-Grain. Nutri-Grain brings me back.
Nutri-Grain, nice. And the final question I ask all my guests, because I don't, proudly, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Not every day.
No, okay. Oh, Shane, thank you so much. Find Diverted wherever you get your podcasts. You will absolutely enjoy this, particularly the fighting in Bolivia. Thanks a million for coming in.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Moore on Today FM.